Nihao gang, and welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the sushi buffet of free speech, because did you know most of these sushi buffets that you go to are actually run by Chinese people? Because they are. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fund. You can mail it in to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. You can phone it in to 1-800-724-2719. And so today we have with us Kato. Kato, origanman imita, which is not Chinese, that's Korean, but it means long time no see.
Yes, 很久不见. That's Chinese for long time no see. Yes, it's definitely been a long, long while. Or as the folks down at the RBN studios would say, been a Texas minute. Yeah, it's, man, a lot of stuff.
Texas minute happened. A lot long. A Texas minute must. A Texas minute must take a lot longer than a New York minute, then.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, that's just an expression, I guess, that, you know, people down there say. But, okay. I'll just say this. I've had a taste of paradise, and I've almost been to hell and back. And I will leave that to the imagination of the audience as to think what that is. And no, don't worry, I was not kidnapped by the federal government and put somewhere. No, that didn't happen to me, and no, I didn't go back to China, unfortunately.
Well, it's good to have you. There's been obviously a huge amount of stuff going on. The Ukraine war continues. We've got all this new stuff going on in Gaza and whatnot. There's been a realignment of the earth, of the geopolitical system, very much towards Russia and China. So a lot of stuff's going on. And before I kick it over to you, I will say, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I stand with the Chinks.
But I'm so encouraged to know that we both love Israel, and I think that is a good thing to get to agree on, Senator Biden. I respect your position on that.
Whoa, here comes some creepy-looking guy.
If you will not stand with Israel and the Jews, then I will not stand with you. Thank you, and God bless you.
What the hell is that supposed to mean? Hey, let's go over to that other room.
Right then, let's go!
Is China now too strong to criticize?
I propose legislation that would allow every American who has been hurt by this COVID pandemic that Beijing unleashed on the world to allow every American to go to court who's been hurt, hold the Chinese government accountable, and have the court freeze Chinese assets.
Is this the Chinese?
Coming over here, taking our jobs and our women!
Let's nuke China.
Hey, you! Hey, I stand with the Chinks. Yeah, if you don't stand with the Chinks, then I don't stand with you.
You're racist.
What?
They think you're racist.
What?
I'm gonna have to catch up with them and explain I'm not a racist.
Okay, and I know that sounds offensive. I can say it. I can say the CH word because I'm cool with them. All right, was that okay, Kato?
Oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I don't care what anybody says, really, as long as it's not malicious, which it's not.
It's not malicious. No, it's a term of endearment. So, all right, but where do you want to get started? Because there is all this stuff going on, and both the Russian diplomats and the Chinese diplomats have been very active. They've got serious diplomats. So Wang Li and Wang Yi and Sergei Lavrov have been very, very busy and very, very successful. And, you know, if what is coming down in Gaza and Israel now, if this type of thing had happened a few years ago, it would certainly be very, very different. The entire, not just the international environment, but the Middle Eastern environment is very different now, because you think back a couple of years ago and Saudi Arabia was hoping to get nukes so it could nuke Iran, and you know, Egypt was effectively an Israeli ally. Well, now guess what? All three countries, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Iran, are being brought into BRICS, the economic bloc centered around Russia and China. China brokered the peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. If you've got peace between Saudi Arabia and Iran, Israel's position, Israel's ability to just operate with impunity is greatly reduced. So I'll kick it over to you. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's really telling, the fact that you have Saudi Arabia and Iran, which are both, you know, sworn enemies of each other, both joining BRICS, both joining this, new economic bloc, primarily economic bloc, but gradually becoming its own alliance bloc against the Western powers, or the, against the liberal New World Order led by the United States and Western Europe. So, I mean, this is really telling. Just the fact how, you know, these sworn enemies, they've got a lot of differences and there's a lot of things they'll never agree on, but they're both, basically smart enough and sane enough to be able to see the big picture, to be able to see who is the biggest threat to both of them. And both of them are looking and saying, yeah, the biggest threat to both of our existences, it's not each other, it's the United States and the Western bloc.
Well, yeah, the Judeo-centric Western bloc.
Exactly, or the Western liberal bloc.
With Iran and Saudi Arabia, obviously, well, maybe it's not obvious. A lot of people might not realize that Iran is not an Arabic country. It's not an Arab country. They're Persians. Most RBN listeners would know that, but a lot of normies wouldn't know that. So they don't, you know, it's not the same language. It's not really that much the same culture, although they do share a religion. But it's, as a lot of people know, the Iran is predominantly Shiite, and Saudi Arabia is predominantly Sunni, although actually the ruling family is Sunni, but there is a significant Shiite minority in Saudi Arabia. But so there are divides between them, but they're both very serious Muslim countries. Iran is the Islamic Republic, and it has a supreme leader who is a cleric, and it does have official governmental role for Islam, for the religion. Meanwhile, Saudi Arabia, the king of Saudi Arabia, is not simply the monarch; he's also the protector, officially the protector of Muslim holy sites. He's the protector of Mecca, and. So for both countries, and this is something I haven't talked about too much. I think did I start talking about it yesterday with Stephen Douglas Whitener? But the part of what's going on in Gaza and between Hamas and the Israelis right now has to do fundamentally, it's about the decades and decades of repression, genocide, ethnic cleansing that's been imposed on the Palestinians. But what's triggered this is the designs by a fairly large segment of Israeli society, and a segment that is very well represented within the Benjamin Netanyahu government, to effectively bulldoze the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is the third most holy site in Islam, and build a temple. Now, this would be the time to do it. And in fact, I understand from Alistair Crook, a very seasoned British diplomat with a background in, MI6, the British intelligence, that recently, within sometime earlier this year, the Israeli cabinet even met in tunnels under the Al-Aqsa Mosque, because this is, there are tunnels there. This is a very ancient site. And they had a meeting there symbolically, in saying that, this is our land. This is our spot. And so, a week or two ago, there were, hundreds of, at least dozens, but I think hundreds of Israeli settlers, these extremist settlers who went to Al-Aqsa Mosque and burst into it. And so there's this massive provocation. So for both Iran as the Islamic Republic and for Saudi Arabia as the protector of Muslim holy sites, this is a red line that they can't permit this to be crossed, to have the Al-Aqsa Mosque destroyed. And I don't know if Hamas, to what extent Hamas coordinated this raid that they did into Israel with other powers, or I have no idea about that. But they might have thought that, given this context, they might be able to count on a certain amount of support should all hell break loose. Anyway, I'll kick it over to you. And
by the way, that mosque isn't that famous Dome of the Rock, is it? The golden dome that you see?
Yes.
Oh, that's the one that they're trying to bulldoze?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you know, the Israelis have oppressed the Palestinians, not just oppressed, but outright, you know, murdered and genocided the Palestinians for the past, ever since their founding in 1948. You know, it's like they can only take so much of it. You know, they've been denied access to clean water. They've been denied access to a decent standard of living, even a relatively poor standard of living. They've been denied access to. They've been denied access to economic independence. All the supplies that go in and out of Gaza is strictly contained by the Israeli authorities. Every day. Israelis will go in and attack Palestinians. Gaza is basically an open-air concentration camp, as it's been described, an open-air prison, essentially, but without running water, without clean water. And what's the one last thing? You know, that they've been denied peaceful and stable families. You know, the fact you've got Israelis going in and, you know, killing family members, including women and children. There's really airstrikes almost every day. And you take away the one thing. What's the one thing they got left that, you know, kind of holds them together is their religion, which is Islam. And now that you've taken that away, well, what's there to lose? Except, you know, in their own minds, well, if this is what it's going to come down to, now's the time to wage, basically, in their mind, jihad. So it's like, they've taken away everything, and now including their religion. So this is so it's on. For, you know, in the minds of these Palestinians and Hamas, I guess the other underlying question is Israeli intelligence, were they, you know, was this kind of like what you would call a trying to think what it is like you know how like a Pearl Harbor type thing where the United States pretty much sanctioned and blockaded Japan to the point where they had no choice but to attack Pearl Harbor, and you know there was strong evidence to state that the FDR administration knew that was going to happen. That was a plan. There's a reason why he purposely left Pearl Harbor, you know, unfortified and all that.
People have been using the term false flag, although a false flag really is something like the
USS Liberty.
USS Liberty, right? Where you actually pretend that you're from another country. The idea was to get the Americans to think that Egypt had sunk that boat when it was actually Israel. That's false flag. People have been using that term, though, to describe what you're talking about. There are questions. Obviously, this unprovoked Palestinian attack was provoked and provoked to the maximum. There has never been any more provocations. There couldn't possibly be anything more provoked than that attack. Then there's also the question of, was it really an intelligence failure, or did Israel have prior knowledge? It was setup. Actually, thank you.
That was the word I was looking for. A setup, like Pearl Harbor was a setup.
Pearl Harbor, to a large extent, was a setup. People are always talking about how horrible it was to lock up the Japanese Americans. And honestly, if you're at war with Japan, locking up or detaining the citizens, they were all the adults were dual citizens. Not, it wasn't their fault, but just because of Japanese law, they were all considered Japanese citizens. My problem is, why did we go to war with Japan in the first place? That's my problem. And of course, if we hadn't gone to war with Japan in the first place, there wouldn't have been any need to lock up the Japanese Americans. But that's another kettle of fish. So anyway, if you look at the history of Israel and its various wars and conflicts, Israel came into existence as a state in 1948, which is the Cold War had already broken out by then. And the Cold War lasted until late 1989, you could say. So you had, during that time, you had four wars that took place. And there was, well, I guess the first war was the so-called War of Independence. Then you had the Suez Crisis in 1956, where Israel and France and England invaded Egypt and took over the Suez Canal. And then, oddly enough, it was the two superpower rivals, the United States and the Soviet Union, that took a common stand and told the Israelis, French, and British to withdraw. So that was kind of an anomaly.
How ironic.
But yeah, they, for their own reasons, they didn't want any of that. 67, you had, that was when Israel took over big swaths of territory. 67, what was going on? What else was going on in 67? Like in 56, the Israelis, French, and British did what they did at the time they did, because it was like the same time as this crisis in Hungary. So you had multiple stuff going on. What was going on in 67 at the time of the, there was something going on, and I just can't remember exactly what it was. But at any rate, Israel got away with a whole lot then. And then in 73, the Egyptians and the Syrians tried to retake their lost territories, almost did. Nixon and Kissinger airlifted in a bunch of weapons to Israel, which were used to push the Egyptians and the Syrians back to where things had started. What I'm trying to explore here is, to what extent did the superpower rivalry limit the freedom of action of Israel? You know, that's something you could write a dissertation about. But since the end of the Cold War, Israel's been able to act with complete impunity. There hasn't been any kind of constraint. And so you look at other things that have happened since then. I mean, we talk about these four wars, but since then, you've had these massive bombing campaigns by Israel into Gaza in 2006 and again in 2009, repeatedly, just like on like twice a week or something for a while, going on these bombing sorties over Syria. I mean, things that are absolutely acts of war, and it just acts with complete impunity because you had the one superpower. And I think what's really become clear in the past year and a half is that America is no longer the world's only superpower. Everything's really changed. And, you know, we haven't heard from you for a while. Things really have changed. What do you think of this change? And this change, this is the type of thing that we were talking about for a couple of years before it happened. The world was changing. It's changing so much because of China and Russia and their relationship.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, being a, you know, ethnic Han Chinese myself, I mean, I'm very proud of my nation, of my, you know, ancestral motherland and their accomplishments.
I am so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Myself, I mean, I'm very proud of my nation, of my, you know, ancestral motherland and their accomplishments. You know, just if you look at how China has developed in the last 30 years, I mean, no doubt the greatest development in all of human history. No other nation can even compare close to the development of China in the last 30, 40 years. I mean, yeah, okay, you know, maybe Germany in the 1930s, you know, under the National Socialists, they developed very fast too, but you know, they were a small nation, only 80 million people at the time. And, you know, there was already some infrastructure in place for them to develop, even though it was kind of falling apart in the, you know, Weimar era. But the Third Reich was able to revitalize all the infrastructure. But you look at China, China started out with nothing, literally nothing in the 1970s after Mao died and Deng Xiaoping took over. Nothing. And how China developed, you know, into the world's, you know, really the world's largest economy in terms of, you know, true economy. And purchasing power, but yeah, a superpower to rival, you know, the great United States, you know, the big bad empire. China was able to rival that, and you know, let alone not only China's development, let alone being the next leader and leading all these other countries, you know, these other developing countries together and helping them develop and creating a new bloc and forming a new multipolar world order to combat this liberal hegemonic new world order led by the United States and the West. So, I mean, it's a great accomplishment that China would be at the center of, you know, the shifting world order from a unipolar, you know, hegemonic one to a multipolar, non-hegemonic one. So, I mean, it's, and this is great, you know, not only for the world, but this is great for the inhabitants, the, you know, local inhabitants of the West, meaning the European peoples, whether they be in the United States, in Europe itself, you know, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, all the Western countries. Because that means that the liberal global elite, you know, which is Jewish dominated, are not able to get away with whatever they want. I would say from 1990 to 2010, that was the period when the ruling Jewish-dominated liberal elite in the West could do whatever they want without consequences. But that has changed ever since, you know, China and Russia became superpowers.
Yeah, and I will say, as an ethnic white person, that but an ethnic white person who has been a long time shill for the Chinese, I'm proud too. And I haven't been there for 35 years. I haven't been there since the 1980s. And when I was there, it was a I won't say it was a shit hole. I will say that there were certainly a lot of shit holes that were there that were overflowing. It was really bad. Now this past summer on my white boy summer road trip, I wanted to go to China. I didn't quite get there. I got to Seoul though. I got to Korea, and I went up the what do they call it? The Lotte World Tower. The Lotte World Tower, which they said it was the fifth tallest building in the world. It's way taller than any building in the United States. So it's either maybe it's fifth or sixth now. But I think three of the top six are in China. And so when I went there, and I was like super impressed. Like, you just keep going up and up and up and up. And then I'm looking down on all these high-rise buildings. So many high-rise buildings, and I'm looking down on them. And so I was really impressed. And then so I say, okay, well, if this is, you know, the fifth or sixth biggest, what are the other ones? And so I went down this list of the 20 top buildings in the world. And the bulk of them, well, maybe not a majority, but more than anywhere else, they were in China.
Yeah, and I think that the three tallest, the first one obviously is the one in Dubai. Yeah. But then you've got the one in Shanghai Tower, and then you've got the one in Shenzhen Financial Center, something like that. It's a really tall spire-like tower. And then I think the third one, I think it's in
Chongqing. There's one in Chongqing.
Yeah, there's one in Chongqing also. But yeah, remember when the Sears Tower was first built in 19? Huh?
There was one in Wuhan. Well, so what about the Sears Tower?
Yeah, remember when the Sears Tower was first built in 1976? And this was like, you know, people were saying this was the new wonder of the world and no one can beat it. And, you know, this was a highly, you know, innovative to new heights and you know, nothing can surpass the Sears Tower.
I visited just when I was a couple of years old. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that that is a dwarf compared to these new modern tall buildings in China. And it's even a dwarf compared to the one in Taipei also. You know, Taipei 101, you know, right. At one time that was the tallest building too. At one time.
Yeah, it's amazing. And whether it's really a good thing to build them or not, I don't know. But that's completely besides the point. It is. They are symbols, though. And China, it's the world's largest economy. And, you know, if by some measure the United States is still the largest economy, because it depends on how you measure it, it's only because the United States consumes so much, because consumption is the biggest part of America's economy. And what are they consuming?
It's manufactured.
So many things manufactured in China. So yeah. If you want to go there.
The truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendovite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendovite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendovite is all natural. Extendovite was designed for the heart but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendovite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So much because consumption is the biggest part of America's economy. And what are they consuming?
Manufacturing.
They make things manufactured in China. So, yeah. I mean, if you want to go there.
Manufacturing is the biggest part of China's economy. No other nation can even come close to China's manufacturing.
No. The G7 countries, the 7 leading industrial countries of the West combined, don't match the industrial output of China.
Mm-hmm. And one thing, too, about China's cities, also, even more impressive than their skyscrapers, their subway system.
Uh-huh.
It's so featured. Yeah, there's this channel.
You might be a skyscraper fan. I'm a subway fan. I will go to cities, and if I only have 2 or 3 hours in the city and they have a subway, that's where I go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the thing. I might not. It's kind of ironic because I'm actually not a big city fan, but I like skyscrapers. So you know, kind of like you like the beach, but you don't like the ocean or something like that. But that's the thing. I mean, China's subway system is so futuristic. It's like you're in outer space basically. And it's so clean. There's no rats running everywhere. Homeless bums trying to attack you like in New York City or one of these American cities. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is once you visit China, you'll never want to come back to America.
Yeah. I mean, this place, no, I haven't been on, I have been on Beijing subway. They had a little bit of a subway, even in the 1980s. There was a little subway. They had two lines, which I guess eventually became one big loop line. But at the way it was when I was there, you actually had to get out of the subway, go up to the ground, cross the street, and then go down again and get on another subway. It hadn't, for whatever reason, they didn't extend it under this one particular street, but I'm sure all that's different now. The and even, you know, 1987 Seoul only had maybe 1983 it only had one subway line with about six or seven stops, and now it's got hundreds, you know. And it's clean and it's beautiful. I will always think that the Tokyo system is the gold standard, but I'll tell you what's not the gold standard. The past couple of years I've been in New York. I've been in Chicago. No, thank you. If rats attack you, you're lucky, because you're liable to get attacked by Negroes. I mean,
yeah. And if you successfully defend yourself against one, then you're the bad guy. You're the one that's persecuted, and he's the victim. You know, like that one former Marine guy who defended himself.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting about that case. It's like, you know, if you watched the video, there was another black guy that was helping this white Marine dude subdue the crazy black, you know, criminal. And yet that black guy never got charged or anything. You know, not that he should, but it's just this white Marine that got charged. I mean, it's just, yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, American cities are just, you know, if you're in one of them, and when I say in one of them, I mean in one of them, you're SOL.
Mm. And, you know, American cities, I remember New York from the 1960s. I remember going to New York in the 1960s, and it was fun. I'm sure there were dangerous places. I'm sure there were. But it was fun. You could walk along Broadway. There were penny arcades, these places you could go into, and if you had nickels or maybe dimes, I can't remember, you could play skeet ball, you could play you know, dart games. There are all sorts of fun things you could do. And there's a, what do they call it, they called the nickel mat or something. You could go into a place and it was all coin operated, and you'd put in a nickel, you'd put in a dime, turn a dial, and you could get a slice of apple pie, you could get your hot coffee, you could get French fries, you know, everything was in these machines, and it was fun. It was just a fun place. And while the subways weren't clean, they were efficient, which is something. And then I remember the Paris subway in the 80s, which was fun, and it was reasonably clean. But one of the things about the Paris subway is it were the street musicians. And there were some wonderful musicians that you would see there. I saw somebody playing a saw, and with a violin bow and a saw, and it was like the voice of an angel. It was just absolutely wonderful.
Oh, he was playing on a saw, like he was using the saw.
Yes.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah, and bending the saw, and the more the saw bends, the higher the pitch goes. But this was a virtuoso saw player, and he was playing it with a bow, and it was like the voice of an angel. It really was.
Of course, one thing I will say about Paris train station subway is there's a lot of pickpockets.
Yeah, a lot of them were gypsies, so you always had to watch out. Yeah, gypsies. So yeah, they had their issues.
They're troublemakers wherever they go, gypsies.
Now, the other subways that I rated very highly were Moscow and Minsk. And this was in Soviet days. I don't know what they're like now, but I would imagine they're probably. I saw Alex Christofaru when he was in Moscow, and he was videotaping himself walking around in subway stations and whatnot. And it looked pretty good. But yeah, they had very nice, clean subways. The Washington, D.C. subway is at least clean, but it's dark. And they don't post a schedule, so what's up with that? they don't post a schedule because they know they're not going to run on time. So they're not, they don't want to set themselves up for failure.
Yeah, the Philadelphia subway too was pretty bad.
Philadelphia was bad and dangerous. Yeah. San Francisco, when I first went, like, I guess around 1980, it was the BART was pretty good and the Muni was okay. But I'm sure they totally, except I do remember once pulling into a station and the train operator opened the door on the wrong side. So if you walked out the door, you would have fallen into the third rail.
Was he black?
I have no idea, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he was. Yeah, that's the thing. What about London Subway? Or the underground, as they call it.
The underground. I went around. It's extensive. It's extensive. Lots of trains. I didn't have quite the same fond recollections that I did of the Paris subway, but it was very extensive, and you know, you could get around. That's what I do remember. You know, German cities. They had the whole German train system. Whether you're talking about subways or intercity, everything was efficient. Everything was clean. I don't know what it's like over there now. It's a shame what's happened. And we've only got like about 12 minutes left. I know we've gotten a bit far afield, which is fine.
But that's the thing too. That's the thing with all this doom and gloom and everything bad that's going on. You know, with whether it's with the clown show up in Washington D.C. or whether it's, you know, the Israelis, you know, killing more Palestinians or whatnot. I mean, you know, that's the thing. It's like we have to, you know, we have to, how should I say this, enjoy ourselves even amidst all this, you know, dark times and misfortune. You know, we have to somehow, you know, enjoy ourselves and not let this consume us too much.
Now, so I've paid a lot of attention to Vladimir Putin over the years, obviously, since he became the leader, since he became prime minister in 1999. And he's somebody who he gives press conferences. Just recently, he has a press conference event. I forgot what it's called. It begins with a V. He does it once a year, and it's oriented towards the foreign press. And he'll spend hours just answering questions. And so you see him out there. So I have a real impression of what he's like, at least his public persona. But you know, he's talking, and I don't speak enough Russian to understand what he's saying. But you know, they're translators. I don't know to what extent Xi Jinping goes out and answers. I just don't have nearly the same personal idea about him. But I, you know, obviously China under his leadership for the past dozen years or so, it's been very impressive. It's made great strides, really has. And the other thing is, like, I'm a giant Putin fan, and I'm a giant Sergei Lavrov fan. But they couldn't do what they do without the China alliance, and China is by far the biggest economy, and it is a very serious military power itself. I'm not a military analyst, but you know, obviously China, Russia, and the United States are the big three. The United States has the biggest budget, but we're seeing that it's kind of run out of its arsenal, and it even seems to be telling Israel, "Well, we'd love to send you weapons, but we're fresh out." So, but you know, here's one last thing before I kick it back to you. People, a couple of years ago, you heard all this bitching and moaning about the botched withdrawal from Afghanistan. And at the time, I was saying, no, I'm pro Joe Biden. I love that botched withdrawal. You know, I don't like the fact that there was a suicide bombing, but the people were bitching and moaning long before the suicide bombing. And suicide bombings, if somebody wants to commit suicide, you can't stop them, right? You just can't stop them.
No.
So I'm leaving that aside. But you know, they're complaining that he left $80 billion worth of weaponry in Kabul, right? Well, okay. What would you want it? Where would you want it to go? Would you want it to go to Zelensky? Would you want it to go to Netanyahu? That was a great thing. That was glorious that he left it behind. And people might say, oh, well, some of it found its way to Hamas. Okay.
Yeah, I know. And here's the thing, despite the fact that Israel is totally unethical and you know, how they're dealing with the Palestinians and everything, they're actually, finally, you know, the Palestinians are actually putting up a fight this time. Like, mm-hmm. it's not so easy because, you know, in the past we've heard, oh, Israel, you know, if there's like, you know, these, you know, desperate Palestinians, they throw a couple stones and Israel just bombs the whole area or, you know, dynamites the whole area and kills a whole bunch of people as a result. But now they're actually struggling quite a bit to fight the Palestinian resistance, and that's exactly what it is. It's Palestinian resistance. And here's let me just say this one thing too. The United Nations, for those people who are saying, oh well, you know, you're supporting the Hamas terrorists and all that. Well, first of all, Israel and the United States calls them terrorists. You know, and the Western media obviously calls them terrorists. But that's not, you know, whatever they call terrorists is not necessarily true. And you know, that's the bias of the Judeo-Western narrative.
They're calling white people terrorists. They call Merrick Garland and the Justice Department calls Trump supporters terrorists.
Yeah, and any parents who don't support their child becoming trannies as domestic terrorists. Yeah, so
yeah.
But on top of that, number two, the United Nations in the UN Declaration of Human Rights, it actually says there that. Oppressed people are legally allowed to arm resistance. It's legally allowed to arm resistance. So according to the United Nations, these Palestinians have every right to defend themselves, you know, with armed resistance. And isn't that what they're doing? They're resisting against their Israeli oppressors, and worse than oppressors, there is the Israeli killers. It's funny to watch the American empire completely crumble to where now even they can't support their greatest ally, Israel. Now, of course, they're going to do everything they can humanly possible at the expense of the people to support Israel, but it's not going to be as easy as it was in the past, especially now with the whole, you know, the global realignment against the United States. And I will say this too.
Global realignment. So. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. I will say this too. The one place, of course, that the U.S. is not putting their military in is the U.S. border with Mexico. You know, when we got millions of illegals flooding in, and you know,
you cut out for about 20 seconds. So you're going to tell us this. You'll tell me what was it that you wanted to tell us?
Well, basically the one place that the U.S. is not putting the, you know, all that military equipment that, you know, was left over, which, you know, again, like you said, it's a good thing because now they can't be used to, you know, go to other places like the Ukraine or Israel or, you know, God forbid, Taiwan. But now the one place, though, that the U.S. is not putting any military is our southern border with Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
You know, millions of illegals are flooding in every day. Well, not every day. I mean, you know, tens of thousands every day, but, you know, over time, millions. This is the worst it's ever been in all of U.S. history. And obviously, this is by design.
I can't remember who it was. Somebody made the point that there's never been a larger invading force in world history. I'm not going to lease that out. People can ponder it for themselves. But there's a couple things I want to say just before this wraps up. So, you know, I'm not hostile to Jews. I really am not. And I'll tell you who Jews' worst enemy is. Not the Palestinians. It's not white people. It's not the Germans. It's not the Russians. Their worst enemy is themselves, because they do these things. And Israel, too. I mean, Israel's worst enemy is itself. And it needs to be constrained, because its own behavior is massively destructive in all directions, including self-destructive. So, you know, they are very, very paranoid, and they're very delusional, and they're self-delusional. And so these constraints, as for the events of last weekend, I'm not going to go into those weeds. I don't know exactly what happened. I do know that some of the things that you're hearing about babies getting their heads chopped off have been completely debunked. I think I've posted some stuff on National Bugle. Max Blumenthal and in the gray zone. He's done a good job of debunking it. Some other people, I can't remember their names, have done a good job of debunking it. So a lot of the stuff that
it's no different than what they were saying during the Desert Storm, you know, Iraq, when they were taking the babies out of incubators or whatnot. It's the same thing. It's the same Jewish lie to get emotion stirred up.
It's exactly the same thing. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but you know something? It's not for me to go and say that
Der Streit um die Sonne und Saft, den Tag blühen weiß, oder eiskalt die Nacht. Bestaunt sind die Gesichter, doch nur nicht unser Sinn, ja unser Sinn.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
It's exactly the same thing. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but you know something? It's not for me to go and say that this is a point. I saw the leader of the Japanese Communist Party, which is an opposition party in parliament, and they're actually the best nationalists in Japan. And the leader put out a statement, which was okay, but he was denouncing the Hamas for having attacked or harmed civilians in its raid. And you know, on the one hand, that's if that maybe that's a violation of international law. Okay, maybe it's a violation of international law. But if Israel has been doing this nonstop, just continuously for decades, and you haven't said anything about it, then you're not in a position to call out Hamas if they do it. Right? That's kind of my point. So I'm not going to get into the weeds there about who violated international law on what particular day in October. I'm not going there. What I am saying is that if you look at this in its totality, it's absolutely clear, and their worst enemy is themselves, and they've been able to act with impunity. Nobody ever calls them out. You probably don't remember this movie. It's from, I think, 1968-69. It was called A Love Story, and the theme to A Love Story was a famous song. I can't remember how it goes, but there was on the billboards or whatever, the slogan from A Love Story was, "Love means never having to say you're sorry." Well, being Jewish has, for the past 80 years or whatever, has meant never having to say you're sorry. Being Jewish has meant never having to be in introspective. Being Jewish has meant never having to listen to criticism. And in such an environment, their worst instincts have taken over. And it's bad for everybody, including themselves.
Yeah, I mean, they're their own worst enemy.
Absolutely. Okay, well, we are getting up to the end of the show. It's been fun having you. Do you have any final words for us?
Well, I'll just say I'm glad to be back.
Well, you're always welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, and that's it for today, and I'll be back again next week with more exciting episodes of National Legal Radio.
It's not true. You say I've been in prison. You say I've got a wife. You say I can't help doing everything throughout my life. It's not true. It's not true. I'm telling you. Here and you're aware, it's not true, so well. I haven't got 11 kids, I was born in Baghdad. I'm not half Chinese either, I didn't kill my dad. It's not true, it's not true, I'm telling you. You can just forget them too. Fools start the rumors, and none of them are true. It's not true, it's not true, I'm telling you. Cause I'm up here and you're nowhere. It's not true, so well.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.